If you want to know how off-the-radar translated literature is in the U.S., take a look at the top 100 books of 2011 from the New York Times. Just a handful were written in a language other than English. There's a whole lot of books out there that aren't making it here, and today we're going to look at three, each written in a foreign language and translated into English. Our guide is Jim Cates. He runs Zephyr Press in Brookline, Massachusetts. He's also the former past president of the American Literary Translators Association. Jim, welcome back.
Hello.
So we want to take a look at some of your favorites from the past year or so. Let's start with poetry and a book of selected works by Adonis, a Syrian exile, his work translated from the Arabic by Khalid Matawa. Tell us more about Adonis.
Well, I don't think he's so much an exile. He removed himself in 1985 to Paris. I'm not sure what the political circumstances were. He is probably the towering name in Arabic poetry, an equivalent I've written about sort of Pound and Eliot combined.
Really?
In that he's been both an incredibly powerful critical force in shaping what contemporary Arabic poetry should be, and also a very powerful lyric writer in writing his own poetry and practically unknown outside the Arabic world.
Well, Adonis is his pen name. He calls himself a pagan poet, and he adopted the name to get attention, we read. The poet is now 81 years old, has published 20 collections of poetry, 13 books of criticism. You've brought in one poem. It's titled A Bridge of Tears. Can you share that with us?
Okay, this is the Matawa translation in the new selected poems that came out last year, A Bridge of Tears. There is a bridge of tears that walks alongside me and breaks apart under my eyelids. There is, under my porcelain skin, a knight from childhood who ties his horses to the shadows of branches with ropes of wind. And in a prophet's voice to us he sings, O wind, O childhood, O bridges of tears broken under my eyelids.
What an image, tying a horse to the shadow of a branch with a rope of wind. It's just quite something. And what do you think, what do you make of it?
The language as it's given in English, I don't know the Arabic myself, so I don't know what Matawa is working off, but what Matawa has been able to create, as he says, a kind of middle level of diction that Adonis uses.
A middle level of diction.
Between a kind of colloquial language and a very high literary language.
Yeah, quite forceful. And the translator, Matawa, is a Libyan poet. He teaches at the University of Michigan, and he apparently is Adonis's longtime translator. Is that how it works, that someone will be with someone? I mean, Adonis is now 81.
It can be. Very often a poet will find a translator, or a translator will find a poet, and there will be a correspondence, literally a physical correspondence or a spiritual correspondence, where they really get along and work together for a long time. In other cases, there will be occasions when a prose writer or a poet we'll work with different translators over the years.
And so your choice for us, Selected Poems by Adonis. And just tick off, you have a list of some other books of poetry that are written in another language, translated into English. Just name a couple of those. We'll have all the list at hereandnow.org.
Well, there's the National Translation Award winner, Juan Gelman, Between Words, which is really a conversation about his son who was killed during the bad years in Argentina, during the years of the dirty war in Argentina. And there's my own Zephyr Press's Admiel Kosman, Approaching You in English, translated by Lisa Katz from the Hebrew.
And the Gelman book, Between Words, translated by Lisa Rose Bradford. And again, we'll have more. We'll have them at hereandnow.org. But let's move to fiction, because you mentioned Argentina. And you've picked a book by novelist Marcelo Figueres, an Argentine, Kamchatka. It's his first novel translated into English. Now, anybody who plays Risk might recognize Kamchatka as a location on
yes,
Risk.
Yes. There's a funny story about this. The way I discovered this novel was my local independent bookstore owner in New Hampshire passed the book along to me. He said I might be interested in it because I'm interested in Russian affairs. And he just noted it by the title. And it does have nothing to do with Russia. The Kamchatka of the title has to do with the game of Risk. And the story itself is the story told from the point of view of a 10-year-old boy whose family is also the victim of the dirty war in Argentina, and they're forced to go into hiding.
And I understand from reading an interview with the author, Marcelo Figueres, that risk was very popular during that time in Argentina. They'd called it something else.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they played that game.
That's not in the novel specifically. So, I mean, the game is, but the...
Well, but it sounds wonderful, you know, telling that time through the eyes of a child.
It's a beautifully written novel, and it was a discovery, the kind of discovery you can only make person to person.
Somebody handed it to you, even if they thought it was Russian.
Yeah.
you have some other books that you would recommend as well, some other fiction?
I mentioned a few others. There was José Saramago, who was, of course, a Nobel Prize winner who just died recently. His last book, translated by Margaret Joel Costa, is Cain.
He's Portuguese.
From Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
Olga Slavnikova, 2017, was the Haidt Prize winner, Slavic winner. She's Russian, translated by Marion Schwartz, who is a superb translator. You look for her work and you know you're going to get a good book.
Good. Okay. And you also note one that got a lot of press here, Haruki Murakami's 1Q84.
Yes, which is a kind of interesting conflation when I read it of Stieg Larsson and Umberto Eco, whom we'll get to in a minute.
And, of course, Stieg Larsson, who wrote the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series.
Yes. Yeah. His kind of potboiler thriller quality mixed with this kind of fevered alternate Baroque world that Eco can create. That, of course, is from Japan. It's translated by Jay Rubin and Philip Gabriel.
Okay, so 1Q84 is on your list of fiction, again, at HeroNow.org. You've mentioned another fiction pick, Umberto Eco. Tell us about this.
Well, Umberto Eco, of course, is a novelist who is very well known, mostly from his first novel that was a blockbuster in English, The Name of the Rose. Right. His novels since then have been less popular, but equally interesting, each in their own way.
And the one you suggest...
The newest and his latest is The Prague Cemetery, and is a novel of hate, the way you might imagine a novel of love. It is filled with conspiracy theory and hate and 19th century political history, culminating in the Protocols of the Elders of Zion.
Hmm.
And it's kind of a romp through all of that in a way that... is intellectually fun.
Well, in fact, a reviewer in The Guardian writes, imagine Dan Brown of The Da Vinci Code with a PhD. That's Umberto Eco.
Well, actually, Eco wrote a book which parodied The Da Vinci Code before The Da Vinci Code was written, and that was Foucault's Pendulum a long time ago.
Right. Isn't that something?
But this does play with conspiracy theories. It reduces, in fact, all of European history in the 19th century to one major conspirator.
The Prague Cemetery, and it's translated from the Italian by Richard Dixon. What makes it a good translation? Obviously a compelling read for you.
For me, when I'm looking at a novel, what I want in a translation is one that reads smoothly, completely, with a voice that I can be reasonably convinced is the voice of the author. The translator there is, of prose, the translator of literary prose, is putting on a mask. And it's the quality of the mask should attempt to replicate the author's face.
Jim Cates, of the nonprofit publisher Zephyr Press and former president of the American Literary Translators Association, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.